the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
To praise Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. As they waved palm branches and spread their coats on the road, they shouted, Hosanna!
From Matthew 21, verses 9 and 11, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! So the multitude said, This is Jesus!
Son of David. is such a great way to praise the Lord.
We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Give thanks, all ye people, for the Lord, the majesty of heaven. He is risen.
The light. Heavenly angels. They've gone back to heaven. Men. Men, get up. They've gone. Get up.
Let's get out of here. What?
We must tell the governor right away. All of us on the double.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, what's the matter with you soldiers? Seen a ghost?
Detail. Halt. What is it, sir?
You act as if you're frightened.
Hey, you. Step out of formation. Tell this man what we saw and heard. The rest of us will go on at a slower pace. Detail, forward!
Centurion! Centurion!
Detail, halt! What do you want? I'm on my way to the governor's in a hurry.
The chief priest Caiaphas would like to see you.
I'll be there after I've reported to the governor.
His highness wants to see you first before you report to the governor.
But the governor is my commander.
Not on this mission. The governor gave his highness full command, remember?
All right.
Follow me.
Detail, forward.
Stop this confusion. Now, Centurion, you tell me what happened at the tomb.
All at once, just before daybreak, a great light came down from heaven. A host of angels it was. They were singing praises to him who was in the tomb. Then, one of the angels rolled away the huge stone as if it were but a pebble. Another angel went inside and loosened the dead one.
Only he wasn't dead. A voice from heaven had raised him from the dead.
Then he came out of the tomb. And, Your Highness, it was the same man who had been laid in the tomb. It was the very same one who was sentenced to be crucified by you and your associates. He was whipped by cruel cords. He was crowned with thorns. You made fun of him. He was resurrected by a voice from heaven. It was the Son of God you crucified. The mighty angel proclaimed him as the Majesty of Heaven, the King of Glory.
But
is that all, Your Highness? Detail!
No, wait!
You look as if you'd seen a ghost.
Tell no one, not even the governor, the things you've told us. Scribe, go to the temple treasure room and bring a goodly sum of money. Now, Centurion, give us just a few minutes, and we'll tell you what to say happened at the tomb. Now, Centurion, here is the story we want you and your men to tell. Make sure they do. You are to say that Jesus' disciples came during the night and stole him away while you slept. Understand?
Oh, I understand, Your Highness, but I...
Will this help you understand better?
Your Highness. If we were asleep, how would we know it was the disciples who stole him? And if the disciples had stolen him, you priests would be the first to accuse them. Also, if we slept while on duty, we would be put to death.
Divide all this among yourselves.
You are our commander. Still, if we are tried...
Pilate would not want the resurrection of Jesus known any more than we do. He will cooperate, I promise.
This is true? Every word of it, Governor. the first place he will come is here, to get even with me. Oh, you may go. Guard, fasten all the doors securely. Post extra guards. Don't let anyone in. Anyone! The soldiers who were guarding Joseph's tomb are here.
Yes, Your Honor. They want to make a report of what happened.
Let them in, let them in. I want to hear the truth of what happened, but do not let anyone else in. No one.
While we slept, Your Highness, someone came. We presume it was the disciples and stole away his body.
Thank you, Centurion. Who wants to see me now, guard?
Caiaphas, the high priest, and other temple dignitaries.
Oh, yes, let them in. I think I want to see them. Yes. My soldiers slept on duty. His disciples came and stole away his body while my soldiers slept?
Yes, Governor.
That is exactly the story my centurion told, but I don't believe it. I shall have another talk with him privately. You remain here. I shall be back shortly.
Yes, Governor Pilate, Your Honor.
So my soldiers slept.
That's what they said.
That is what you told them to say.
They told you everything?
The truth this time.
But, Your Honor, surely you... Well, you wouldn't want people to know you condemned an innocent man, would you?
I did not condemn him. You did.
The people think you did. You did have to sign the death warrant.
If I just hadn't listened to you in the first place. I wanted to release him, but you and your co-workers begged me to have him crucified, and I... Well, I have to let the matter rest as it is. I have no choice.
We will do all we can to cause the people to believe his body was stolen from the tomb. After all, I am their high priest and have a lot of influence and authority.
Oh, yes, yes, Caiaphas. Oh, I'm sure you do and will. Yes, especially when the people know the truth. And the truth always comes out. The truth? You crucified the Son of God, the Son of God. You will have many sleepless nights. There will be no rest for you. Oh. For me either.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
The best part of heaven might well be the praise or the honors bestowed at the end of the race. The best part of heaven will be mercy and grace that we'll know when we see Jesus face to face. Singing Alleluia, I will worship you. Waking from sleep with no tears and no pain for eternity.
Pastor Perez.
Well, hi, Hannah.
Why are you sitting here in an empty church?
Oh, I love to listen to Mrs. Peterson practice the organ. So soothing. And what are you doing here on a warm Wednesday afternoon?
I wanted to ask you a question about last week's sermon.
Okay.
You said that prayer is really important, right?
Right.
Well, if God knows everything about us and knows exactly what we need, why do we need to pray?
Wow, Hannah, I am proud of you. You really listened to my sermon. I'll bet you're thinking about the text I read in Matthew that says that God sends rain on both the just and the unjust, those who love him and those who don't. The just pray, the unjust don't. But both receive the gift of rain.
So if God is going to do things for us anyway, why ask him for stuff? It would be like me saying to my mom, please give me breakfast. She's going to fix me breakfast whether I ask for it or not because she loves me.
Exactly. Your mom and God act out of love, and love doesn't require anything of the other person. So maybe asking God for things isn't how we should always pray. What do you do when your mom fixes you a delicious breakfast?
I say, hey, thanks, Mom. Great oatmeal.
And?
And that's what I should say to God. Thank you for your blessing.
Now you're on the right track, Hannah. Our prayers should reflect our gratitude for the many blessings God has given us, even when we don't ask for them. Sometimes we get so busy wishing for things we don't have that we forget to thank God for the many blessings we've already received.
The next time I pray, I'm going to do a lot more thanking and a lot less asking.
And I'm going to thank God for young people who actually listen in church. That's a real blessing.
This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Caught in His Own Trap. All day long, Brian thought about those cookies. When he looked at the problems in his second grade arithmetic book, he seemed to be counting cookies instead of adding numbers. The stories in his reader made him think of the smell of cookies in the oven instead of the sights and sounds mentioned in the stories. Mother had started baking the cookies while Brian and his sister ate breakfast. She told them they could have some for their after-school lunch with a glass of milk. By lunchtime, Brian was sure he couldn't wait much longer to get home and taste some of those cookies. Several thoughts chased themselves through Brian's mind during the afternoon. I'll run home right after school and get some cookies. But conscience whispered, Mother said to wait for sister. Always wait for sister. Don't come home alone. But this is special. Mother won't care. I can take care of myself. Conscience, sister has the key, and Mother said to wait for her. I can get through a window. The kitchen window is usually left partly open. Conscience, climbing through the window is dangerous. Mother said so. But I can't wait a whole hour for sister's room to get out. Besides, sister is a slowpoke. Conscience, Mother has said many times that it is not good to eat between meals. A light lunch after school, with sister, is another meal. And cookies are a special treat for only once in a while. Oh, I'll drink some milk with the cookies. It won't hurt if I have my treat an hour early. So by the time the second grade room was dismissed, Brian had convinced himself that he had to go on home without waiting for the sixth graders, including sister, to be dismissed. Brian slipped from the room and ran from the school grounds before his teacher could miss him. He knew she would try to keep him with the other children who always waited for older brothers or sisters. Brian ran home so fast he seemed to have wings on his feet. He couldn't help thinking how much faster it was without sister poking along. The house was on a hill at the edge of town, about a mile from the school. By the time Brian had run most of the way to the foot of the hill, he was already tired. But he puffed up the hill as fast as his legs could carry him. He dashed across the porch to the front door, forgetting for the moment that it was locked. When he found that he couldn't get in the door, he slumped into the porch swing to catch his breath. Soon, Brian recovered his wind. He walked around to the back of the house where he was sure a window would be partly open. Sure enough, one of the kitchen windows was open at the top. Brian stretched to reach the bottom window and managed to get his fingers under it. He pushed up, and the window moved a little. It was free. Now all he would have to do was to climb up on something, push up the window, and crawl into the kitchen. Then he could have the yummy chocolate chip cookies. Brian scurried around behind the garage. There he spied an old apple box. Too bad the garage was locked. There was a good stepladder in there. Oh well, the old box would do. He carried the box to the house and set it on the end under the window. Then he tried to clamber up on the box. It was old and wobbly, and at first he couldn't get on it. He turned the box so that it leaned against the house. He took hold of the windowsill with both hands and managed to pull himself up so that he was standing on the box. He could see the cookies. Two plates of them, one for him and one for sister, were on the table near the window. Now he wondered how to get the window open wide enough and keep it open long enough to crawl through. This window, like the others in the house, had to be propped up with something to keep it open. The top section opened only a few inches when it was not locked. Brian stood on the shaky box and pushed up on the bottom window. It moved quite easily. He could smell the cookies now. Oh, how delicious they would be. He tried to hold the window up with one hand while he struggled to get one knee on the sill, but that stubborn window wouldn't stay up. Too bad he didn't have a stick, but to get one now would mean all the trouble of getting down from the box and climbing up again. Finally, Brian succeeded in getting one elbow on the sill so that his arm propped the window open. He grasped the inside of the sill with his other hand and gave a mighty push on the box with both feet. His body lurched upward so that his head and one shoulder went through the opening. Maybe he could make it, he thought. But the push on the box caused it to tumble on its side, and the motion of Brian's body twisted his arm holding the window. Down came the window across Brian's shoulders. "Help! Help!" Brian screamed. But no one heard him. Sister was still at school, and the nearest neighbor was across a field on another small hill. Brian kicked his toes against the side of the house. He dug his fingernails into the windowsill, but he could not move. He was caught like a mouse in a trap. When Sister's room was dismissed, she looked for Brian. Not being able to find him, she went to his teacher. "Where is Brian?" she asked. "Oh, I don't know," the teacher answered. "I missed him, but I suppose he went home with some of the other children. I haven't seen him since our room was dismissed." "He wouldn't go with anyone else," Sister said. "He always waits for me. Mother told him to." Sister and the teacher looked all around the school. They looked by the sandbox and the small swings and teeter-totters where the younger children usually played. They looked by the ball field with some of the older boys where they were playing 500 while they waited for rides home. They looked in each of the classrooms and the hallways. They looked everywhere they could think of, even among the shrubs by the flagpole. But Brian was not there. Finally, Sister said, "He must have gone home by himself. I don't know why he would, but I guess that is what he did." She gathered up her books, lunchbox, and sweater and started home. Sister hurried up the hill and into the yard. "Brian! Brian! Are you home?" she called between puffs. No answer came. She was really worried now. She took the key from her little purse and opened the front door. A strange scratching sound came from the back part of the house. Sister cautiously walked toward the kitchen. What a sight met her eyes as she came to the kitchen door. Directly across the room in the back window was a pale face and one feebly dangling arm. A little mouth was trying to call for help, and the toes of two small shoes were faintly scratching on the outside of the house. Sister rushed across the room. She took hold of Brian's arm with one hand and lifted the window with the other. Then she let Brian fall to the ground as gently as possible. She ran out the door and around to the side of the house where Brian lay gasping for breath. "Oh, Brian, Brian," Sister was crying now. "What if I hadn't come? Oh, Brian." A weak little cry sounded from a sad little boy as he began to recover from a hard lesson on the hazards of disobedience.
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955. This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.